All right. Well, welcome back to as we continue our series. And please be turning with me to a couple places. One is 1 Corinthians 13:4, and we'll also be in Matthew chapter 20. And so you're going to kind of start off with our launch verse, which is in 1 Corinthians, which talks about love. And so as we are continuing this series about what love is, today we're going to be talking about something that love is actually not. And so we'll be looking at that. But I hope each of you had a good Valentine's. Last Sunday, we kind of talked about love is kindness, and we kind of kicked it off on Valentine's Day. Hopefully some of you enjoyed the treats that Jenna and Nancy Young put together for you. And hopefully maybe it helped some of you guys that had forgotten about it. You bought something, handed it to them, and saved you. So hopefully you guys did the right thing and gave a Valentine. I'm assuming that you did since you're here and you're alive today. And so hopefully you ladies as well reciprocated in that, and you guys had a good time. My wife and I had an awesome time of just spending time together at the IHOP. No, I'm just kidding. We did not go back there again. I would not be alive, but we had an awesome time of fellowship. And so as we continue this study on what love is, I think it's important as we do this, because I think sometimes we just, like we've talked about, love is one of the most misused words in the English language. We love this, we love that. And last week we talked about the fact that love is kindness, that kindness is love in action. And I promise you we'll get back to patience in the coming weeks. Just be patient. But I want to just to let you know that today we're going to be talking about that love is not envious. Love is not envious. Love does not envy. And so let's read in 1 Corinthians 13:4. And here's what it says. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And as you see there, the thing we're going to focus on today is that it does not envy. So what is envy? Maybe you have an idea in your head, but let me just give you a very simple, basic definition of what envy is, especially when it comes to looking at love the way God looks at it, not the way the world so many times tells us to. Envy is resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. Resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. You see, envy in this world, so many times we are programmed, literally from the time that we, you know, can first start watching television or start reading or start paying attention, we are really told something. We should always be trying to get something, that somebody has something we don't want, we need to match it. We need to try to always try to keep up with the Joneses, and we always need to try and get that thing that's elusive, the brass ring. And you know, there's nothing wrong with stuff or being ambitious, but the reality is that envy, as we're going to see today, is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous part of just any life, but really to the life of a follower of Christ, it can be detrimental, and we're going to see that. So today we're going to look at just how dangerous it is in our lives and what are some things that we can do to take envy out of our lives. What does God's Word say about how we might get rid of it? But let me just to show you how dangerous it can be, let me read a verse for you and read it along with me in James chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what it says. It says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder. And what does it say? Read it with me. Every evil practice. Wow. I had never noticed that before. That envy and self-strife are the kind of the root of every evil practice. Sin, basically. And so some of you are probably sitting here today and you're thinking, but I just don't think I'm an envious person. I don't see myself as someone who tries to be envious and look. And listen, you know, I can't speak for you, but here's the reality. God's Word says that envy, whether we realize it or not, can creep into our lives. It can begin to create all kinds of issues and problems. But listen, you know, when it comes to what it can produce, when it comes to every evil practice, let me just, if you will, let's take a look just for a few minutes together as a group at some, not all. It would take forever to write down everything, but just a few of the challenges or sinful behavior that can creep into our life if we're not careful about envy. So let's check this out. Well, the first one is anorexia. Now, obviously, you can see I don't struggle with that, but you know, there are people that begin to look and envy somebody's size. They look in a magazine or look on TV, and before you know it, they're just not eating, and they end up with this disorder. You know, envy can lead to that. But what do we see? We see not just things anorexia, but adultery. You begin to see somebody else that's married, and you begin to envy that. You want that, and before you know it, you're pursuing something besides your own wife and your own marriage. And so we see that it leads to adultery, but we also see it leads to bitterness. Looking out and seeing, hey man, why don't I have that? Why do they have that? And God, why aren't you blessing me? So then that leads to complaining, doesn't it? Complaining, just not being satisfied, which ultimately will end up in the fact that envy so many times leads to conflict. Conflict within our own hearts and our own minds, and ultimately conflict within our relationships, which is what we're so focused on in this love series. But then it leads to dishonesty, doesn't it? If I'm envying somebody, I'm more apt to steal something. I remember one time I had a sales rep that I used to wonder, you know, how did he do all the sales that he had? It was sat next to me, and before I knew it, I began to envy him and say, hey, how can I be like him? Come to find out, he was stealing from the company. You see, you have to be careful about envy. It causes us to have exaggeration, doesn't it? We want our lives to look better. We want to try to match up. And so we begin to blow up everything in our life and say everything's better. And, you know, we try to one-up every single person. It leads to gossip. We want to tear that person down because we're envious of them. And we begin to talk about them, which leads to hypocrisy, especially in the Christian life. The way we should live our life, but envy, that root will begin to come and cause us to do things, even as Christians, that we will not match up to what we say that we are, which leads to insecurity, to being judgmental, to looking at someone and trying to tear them down, to manipulation. We want to manipulate people because we envy them, because envy has crept into our lives. And then ultimately, murder. You know, the very first murder in the Bible, Cain and Abel, was over envy. One envied the other one in their relationship. Envy was the root that led to murder. It's very dangerous, this thing called envy. So what do we see? It makes you rude. Makes you sarcastic. These are all things that shouldn't be in the life of a believer, really the life of anybody, but it makes you spiteful. And one of the things that's really the most dangerous that being envious is that we become unforgiving. Can't let go. Just looking at someone else's life, and we just say, man, I wish that was me. And I just can't forgive. Not necessarily them, but as we'll see in a few minutes, sometimes you just can't forgive God. It makes us ungrateful. It makes us so ungrateful when we become envious, makes us unkind. But ultimately, one of the worst things that can happen in any of our lives, because we should trust God, is it causes us to worry. To wonder, how am I going to get this? How am I going to do that? How can I compete with these other people? Looking outside rather than understanding what's going on the inside. And so as we look at this today, we ask the question, if this is dangerous stuff, I mean, listen, that whole list, if you just look at this list, if you're just honest today, if you'd be willing to say there's something on that list that I've struggled with, just raise your hand. Yeah, 100%. I'm raising it with you. You see, the reality is that we probably, even today, most of us probably still struggle in some form or fashion. And ultimately, we see that this is dangerous. This is not good stuff. Sometimes we think of envy as just a little cute little thing that we might do, but it leads to some dangerous stuff in their life. And so if it leads to this, here's a question then. If envy is so dangerous, I mean, if it's so destructive, can even lead to murder, then how do we get rid of it? How do we not make it a part of our life? I don't know about you, but I want to know that. I want to know. And so we're going to spend some time, the rest of our time, really looking at a story in Matthew chapter 20, as we see Jesus painting a picture of what envy can do in the life of people that are a part of His kingdom. It's a parable. It's a story. And he's painting a picture of what kingdom life looks like. And he begins to paint a picture of not necessarily what people do rightly to get rid of envy, but many times what? We can learn from people who don't do it correctly, right? We can learn from those who did it the wrong way. And that's really what Jesus is going to show us today as we look in Matthew chapter 20. And so this is a story, a parable that Jesus shares as he is explaining to them really what kingdom life looked like, but ultimately that we should not envy and just how dangerous it can be. And he tells the story of some workers. And so there's a man that owns a vineyard. And he owns this vineyard, and so what he decides to do is he decides to go out and get workers for the vineyard for that day. And it's a 12-hour day, starts at 6 a.m., ends at 6 p.m. And he's decided that what he's going to do is he's going to go out at 6 a.m. and find some workers. So he says, listen, he said, if you'll come and work for me for the day, I'll pay you a denarius. Now here's what a denarius looks like. Some of you are probably like, I'm not going to work for that. That's just ugly. Maybe this looks better. Yeah. Now you're like, I'll work for that. I'll work for that. This is just so it'll connect with you. A denarius is one day's wage. It's about $100 compared to our time. And so if someone came to you and said, listen, I'm going to pay you to come into work for $100, and you would say, I'm in. I need the money. And so this is what happens. Jesus telling the story about the farmer, he says, hey, come and work for me. We contracted, one day's work, $100. But then the farmer comes along and five different times during the day, all the way up until 1 hour before quitting time, he continues to go and to find workers and to bring them in to work his vineyard. But here's what he does. He pays all of them the same. And so our story kind of picks up where we're beginning to see where the manager is beginning to dish out the $100, the denarius, to the people as they're going. But here's the interesting. He starts with the ones that he hired last to come through the line. And so here's what we see. We see that when Jesus is talking about getting rid of envy, we see a perfect example of the best way we can get rid of it is we have to stop comparing ourselves to others. We got to quit looking ahead in the line. Read with me in Matthew chapter 20, verses 9 through 10. It says, the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius, or $100. So when those came who were hired first, so these are the ones that were hired at 6 a.m., they expected to receive more, because they've been working all day long. But each one of them also received a denarius. They got the same amount. See, what's beginning to happen here is that they contracted with the vineyard owner, right? Work a day, $100, denarius. And they're getting exactly what they contracted for. They're not being cheated in any way. But what's beginning to happen? They're beginning to look down the line and look at what's happening in front of them, and they're noticing that the other people are being blessed by the owner. Some people worked an hour and got a day's wage. Some people just 3 hours, all the way down. And the ones in the very back are beginning to compare themselves to others. And so the Bible says, don't do this. It's dangerous. Envy can begin to lead to all kinds of things. It's just what we saw. And so here's the reality. Don't do this. Don't. We read this story and we kind of say, oh yeah, I get it. You know, it wasn't fair. But here's the reality. We do this, don't we? We compare our looks to each other, right? God, how come you made them so much prettier than me? You know, God, why'd you give them curly hair and I have to curl mine every day? I know, they're laughing down here. I have no hair. So, but why did they... You know, and so we begin to compare our looks, you know, our intelligence. God, why did you make them smart? And why do I have to study like 10 hours to do the same thing? You know, my kids. God, why did you give me those kids? No, I'm just kidding. You wouldn't say that. But God, you would say, you know, your kids, my kids are here, but, you know, God, their kids just seem to be better. God, why did you? And you could go, the list could go on and on. And what happens is, you know, before you know it, you're comparing your spouse. You're comparing your job. And what begins to happen? You have moved the focus onto them and off of the one who is blessing you. You see, if we want to take envy out of our life, we have to begin to realize that we can't compare ourselves to everybody. It's dangerous, because when we begin to do that, we begin to really fall into two sins. One of them is pride. We might look at somebody and say, I am smarter than them. Thank you, God. I'm so smart. Or fall into envy. So the two things that can happen, we begin to compare ourselves as we fall into pride, or we begin to fall into the dangerous thing of envy and say, I need more, God. I need more. I want what they have. And so the truth is that when we are envious of others, here's the truth. That so many times we are looking into someone else's life, but here's what we don't think about, at least I didn't, is that I have a theory in that whenever we look into someone's life, we envy them, but what we really don't understand is that we don't know what's happening in their life. We don't see behind the scenes. All we see is the outside, and we are looking out of our life into their life and wondering, man, I wish my life was like that. But the reality is that we are all really struggling with the same things. See, we have to be real careful just looking on the outside. Listen, when I was growing up, and it's going to date me a little bit, but being a Falcons fan, when I was growing up in the 80s and the 90s, there was somebody by the name of Neon Deion. Deion Sanders. You guys remember him? Yep. And he was pretty awesome, you know. And so as a kid, man, I just thought, man, if I can be like Deion, I have the talent, if I could have the money, if I could do all the things. And I just kind of idolized this guy. I mean, this guy was the only person who threw a touchdown and hit a home run in the same week. Played for the Braves and for the Falcons. This guy has it all. What do we see? Years later, how success almost ruined his life. You see, he tells a story in this book about he went and bought a Lamborghini, and literally 15 minutes after he bought it, he was dissatisfied with it, looking for the next thing, going through relationship after relationship and women after women, and just, you know, all doing all these things until ultimately one day he drives his car off a cliff trying to kill himself. You see, we idolize people like this and look and we say, listen, if my life was just like them, I would be happy, I'd be satisfied. But what we don't know is what's happening inside. So be very careful as we look, and so many times we begin to worship athletes and celebrities and those who are there. And listen, I just have another theory. I have another theory that in reality, nobody is as cool as they seem. Nobody is as got it all together as they seem. We all struggle in this world. And so listen, Jesus is saying in this parable, he's saying, listen, be careful. Don't begin to compare yourself, because in doing so, you set yourself up to be in a dangerous place, as we just saw a few minutes ago. And so what should we do? We should, rather than comparing ourselves, we should begin to celebrate God's grace to others. We should begin to get excited when God does something amazing in someone else's life. We should just be thrilled when God blesses other people. And this is exactly the opposite of what the workers do. Read with me in Matthew chapter 20, verses 10 and 11. It says, so when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. So they all received $100. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. They were unhappy, dissatisfied, looking ahead, saying, what's the deal? I didn't get all that I felt like I deserved. And I felt like I was treated unfairly. And so what do? They begin to grumble. They begin to resent what the landowner had given them. But had he given them what they promised? He had. He had been generous to them. He had blessed them with what he said he was going to do. And so what do we see? We see that so many times when something good happens, like when they looked down the line and they saw the people getting more money, rather than saying, well, that's cool, man, this guy is generous, they said, not fair. Where's mine? I deserve more. I've been out here all day long. I've worked longer. Even though you're paying me what you said you're going to pay me, I think I deserve more. And listen, we can read this story and we can judge these folks. But let me just tell you something. We do the same thing. This is not easy. I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes when something good happens to somebody else and I'm having a tough day, I just look at him and go, where's mine, God? Where's my blessing? My guess is it's the same for you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to picture a friend of yours. And here's what as you're picturing that friend, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read this verse. Listen to this verse. Romans 12:15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. You see, the Bible says that we should be happy and rejoice with those that are things that are going on, and we need to put our arms around those that are struggling. And listen, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's so much easier just to put my arm around someone who's hurting rather than to come over and celebrate when God is doing something amazing in someone's life. Because I'm envious. You see, I'm setting myself up for danger. And this is exactly what's happening in the story. But here's the thing. It happens for us too. As a matter of fact, think about that friend. That friend has just come to your house. And they come in, and they've got something exciting they want to tell you, and this is what they tell you. I got a new car! 2015, baby. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's like convertible, you know, 0 to 60 in like 1.5 seconds. I mean, it's like just, you know, just incredible. And so what are you going to do? You're going to be like, dude, I hope you blow that engine. It's true. God's Word says we should celebrate. Rejoice with those who rejoice. See, to get envy out of our life, we need to ask God to help us to develop a heart that is able to rejoice. And so listen, you know, so they come and they say, we got a new car. So then your friend shows up and here's what they say. I'm going on a cruise. Man, it's all paid for. I'm going to eat lobster at midnight. I'm going to eat chicken at 3 a.m. I mean, you just go through the whole thing. And you're over there, you're like, man, I hope that ship sinks. I hope you get some kind of stomach bug. Listen, we laugh, but if we're not careful, we do it. Here's the next thing they tell you. It's a little smaller. Got the new iPhone 7 before it even came out. Before it was even invented, I got it. And you know, you pull your phone out and it's held together by duct tape, you know, and you're like, you know, you're trying your best to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. It's tough. For the guys, this next one, this is really tough. Oh. Your neighbor shows up with a zero turn, and you're sitting over there checking the choke, and you know, you're thinking horrible thoughts about your neighbor. You are. It's tough. You know, the ladies are sitting here all smug, but listen, let me just show you something. It's worse for them. Especially the ones who aren't married yet because their friends show up with this. Oh, look what I got. You go, girl. I mean, it's like, they're like, and, you know, and you're thinking, I didn't know they made a diamond that small, you know. Listen, we laugh about that. But I'm going to tell you something. The root of that bitterness, of that in our lives, Jesus says, be very, very careful, because if I can't celebrate, if I can't develop a heart that celebrates when other people celebrate, that when I see God blessing them, or I see exciting things happening in their life, and all I want to do is tear them down, I am headed down the road of that list of things that we saw. That envy is now bringing into my life the things that don't need to happen. And so Scripture tells us we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And let me just tell you something. That only comes from a heart that we're going to talk about in a few minutes that begins to understand that the landlord, God, is a good and gracious God. That the blessings that are happening here don't necessarily mean that God is not blessing us. And so let me just tell you something. If you're only going to be able to get excited when exciting things happen in your life, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you a truth. You're not going to be excited very much. If you can only get excited when good things happen to you, or only be happy when things happen to you, you're not going to be happy very much. Because listen, life for the most part is just life. We go to work and we come home and, you know, good things happen from time to time and we celebrate. But if we think that God's got to, you know, throw a party for us every single day, then we're going to live a frustrated life. But here's the cool thing. If we learn to rejoice with those who rejoice, that means we celebrate with other people. Good things happen to people every day. Man, you're going to live one of the happiest lives that you'll ever live as you learn to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And so we just have to be careful. We want to make sure to stop comparing ourselves, and we want to celebrate the grace that God is doing. And so listen, let me just tell you something. One of the greatest ways to do this is to be in community somewhere, to be in a Sunday school class, to be in a small group. Because in doing so, you place yourself around people that you can celebrate the good things that God is doing in their life. Isolated, before you know it, you're living a life of looking out to try to figure out what is going on. And so, listen, a great place to do that. If you're not in a Sunday school class, if you're not in a small group, I would encourage you to get involved in one. You can check that out on your connection card, and we'll be glad to get you hooked up in one. But so what do we do? So if we need to stop comparing ourselves, and we're trying to learn to celebrate the grace that God has given to others, then to do that, we have to trust God when life doesn't seem fair. Because it doesn't seem fair, does it? These people worked the entire day. They got what they were promised, but suddenly the landowner is blessing those who are only working an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And so we have to begin to pull it back in and understand that we need to focus in on what God is doing for us. What do we read? We need to trust God when life seems unfair. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 12 through 15, it says, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And he says, 'You have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.'" They're saying it's not fair. We've worked all day. And this is what the landowner, who, by the way, in the story is a picture of God, Jesus telling. He says, "But he answered one of them. He said, 'Am I not being unfair to you, friend? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Did I not give you what I promised? Did I not actually invite you to be a part of what I was doing? I didn't have to do that. I could have left you standing in the courtyard. But I invited you to come and to work. I've blessed you with having the $100. And so what do we see? He says, "Take your pay and go. I want to give the ones who was hired last the same as I gave you." He says, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" And then he finishes, "Are you envious because I am generous?" You see, there's the key. We serve a God who is trustworthy, who is generous, who offers grace. You see, this whole parable is a picture of God's unmerited favor, His dispensing of grace into our lives. Listen, it's not fair. They didn't deserve anything. They didn't even deserve to be a part of what was happening at the vineyard. And suddenly they become self-righteous and say, "Well, I deserve more." And God is saying, "Listen, it's not up to you how I decide that I'm going to give out my grace," or in this case, a payment. Are you envious because of my generosity? What a great question. And so listen, the bottom line is this. When we become envious, when we begin to look down the line, when we begin to look at someone else, when we begin to look on Facebook and say, "Wish my life was like that, and wish my life was like that, and wish I had this," here's the reality. The bottom line is, when we are envious, we are really not envious toward that person, but we are not trusting God. We are having a bad view of who God is. You see, suddenly what we begin to say is, "God, you're blessing this person. Why aren't you blessing me? God, you're allowing this good thing to happen here. Why isn't that happening to me?" And what you're beginning to say is that, "God, you are not somebody who makes right decisions." Do you understand that? That is a big deal. We're saying that God is making wrong choices. The God that we believe to be sovereign, the God we believe to be in control of all things, the one that we trust. But many times when we say, you know, God, why aren't you doing this for me? Then because I deserve that. What we're saying is, God, we don't trust you. We don't trust you with our life. That you're going to be doing something that is unfair. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage me today to come back to a trust in God. A God who loves you. A God who wants the very best for you and I. A God who has a plan for you, just like He has a plan for someone else. And we can't look into someone else's life and say, God, why don't you do that in my life? When all we have to say is, God, I just trust that you're going to give me the $100. I'm just so grateful that your grace has been given to me. And God, I just want to take my eyes off of those things and put my eye back on a God that is gracious and is generous. And so I just want to encourage you to turn your eyes back to God. Trust that God is good, that God is loving, that God is kind, that God doesn't want us to envy, because envy is such a dangerous thing. And so as Jesus is sharing this story, he's saying, listen, he says, when it comes to getting envy out of your life, here's what you need to do. You need to focus on God's plan for you, not your plan, not what you think God should be doing for you. And so it looks at what's going on in our life and quit looking at what's going on always in someone else's life. And in doing so, we will understand better what Matthew 20:14, kind of backing up, says. Matthew 20:14 says, take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. And what I really want you to focus on there is that the farmer, God, Jesus in the story, is looking at the person who's complaining and saying, take your money and go. I have blessed you. I have given you what you need in this moment. Don't worry about what I've given somebody else. Don't worry what I'm doing over here. Understand that I'm a trustworthy God who is giving you exactly what you need in this moment. Take your money and go. And so God is saying, get over your envy. Let it go. Just let it go. Some of us are still envious over the fact that we didn't win the spelling bee in third grade. Some of us are envious over the fact that we didn't get prom queen or prom king in high school. We didn't make the team. We didn't get the job. We, you know, 3 years ago, something happened. Let me tell you something. Let it go. God says, my grace is sufficient. I've given you everything you need. Take the money and go. Focus on God's plan for you. As I begin to focus on God's plan for me, guess what begins to happen? I begin to ask the question, God, what is your plan for me? God, what is it that you're doing with me? Not necessarily what's happening over here or what you're doing here, but God, what are you doing in my life? I begin to really be doing introspection on what's happening there. And so what do we see? We see that in Matthew 20:26, later on in the same chapter, Jesus talking once again about what the kingdom will look like. Here's what he says is most important. Here's what it says that God's plan is for me and for you. And here's what it says. Not as with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your what? Servant. Do you understand that you can't envy somebody and serve them at the same time? Something happens in your heart when you humble yourself to serve another person. It may not even be the person that you struggle with envy, but once you begin to serve, once you begin to do that, guess what begins to happen? Those eyes, you know, kind of from looking around and always comparing, suddenly fall on somebody that you can be a blessing to. Somebody that you can help. Somebody that you can realize that God has given you everything you need, and the plan is this. So what do? We see that in our church, the plan that we have here, the thing that God has asked us to do, we say it every single week, is to love Him, to love our neighbors, and to reach the world. To love God, love others, and reach the world. It's the plan that God gave us. I'm going to tell you something. If we begin to focus on that, guess what? The envy will fade away. I won't be looking to see what's happening. Because here's the interesting thing, is that so many times we kind of misunderstand exactly what God's grace has done for us. We look at it and we begin to understand that when we look at the story, we see someone who was given money at the beginning and in the middle and then at the end. And this whole parable is about the fact that God's grace is given to us because we don't deserve it. That it's His decision, that it's His graciousness, that it's His generosity to do that. And so He says, listen, if you want to be great in My kingdom, He says, serve others. And in doing so, you will be able to do away with being envious. Listen, yesterday we had an opportunity to go and to serve others. And I would just encourage you, the next time we put this out, and we'll do a better job of letting people know, but there's a ministry that Chris Harris has put together along with Kim, his wife, and his family, but they organize these boxes very well, and their clothing from little kids all the way up to adults. And so we went over to one of the hotels that's for a lot of people are transient there. They're just all kinds of stories, but they just rent them by the day or by the week. And so we had an opportunity to go and to meet this precious family and this gentleman here. His name is Rodney. And so there were others that came and were blessed by the clothing. But here's the cool thing. Is that in doing this, guess what? I just get a chance to meet another person, and it softens my heart. And to realize, once again, the blessing that God has given me personally. You see, I don't know the stories of all these other people, but here's what I do know. I know that, you know, when it comes to God's grace in my life, ultimately I want to share that with somebody else. And in doing so, it keeps me from just comparing myself to everybody else. I'm just grateful and appreciative of what God has done. And so here's the thing, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, which kind of sums up the entire parable. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. See, Jesus is mixing it all up here. Mixing up the way we think about everything when it comes to His kingdom, that when it comes to His grace, it's His generosity. You know, none of us would ever do this when it comes to envy. None of us would ever say, you know, hey, you know, I'm envious of someone who came to faith in Christ at the 11th hour. You're like, God, I've been here working this whole my whole life serving You, and now I'm going to heaven, and then this person who gets saved when they're, you know, at 80 years old on their deathbed. No, what would we do? We'd rejoice, wouldn't we? We would rejoice that somebody was now a part of God's family. And so, listen, this is what the picture of this parable is that whether you come into the field early or you come late, God's grace is the same for all. It's sufficient. And so to avoid envy, so many times what we have to do, we just have to realize that God has called a plan for you and for me. And that plan is to serve others, to share His great message, to build relationships. That's what this is about. Relationships is one of the most important things. It's the only thing we take with us. I'll share a story with you, and then we'll move to a time of decision. But when I was really thinking about this idea of envy and all the things that envy can create, of strife and, you know, of, you know, oh, why is this happening? Why is this happening for me? And I just was reminded of an incident that happened a couple of days ago. And so the Taylors were so kind to invite me to, Roddy and Lori Taylor were so kind to invite me to dinner one night. And of course, we were eating Chinese food, one of my favorite things. And we're sitting in this Chinese restaurant, Mr. Egg Roll. And we're sitting there having a conversation. And, you know, Lori and Rodney have obviously been there a lot because they know the people very well. And so, but the cool thing is that there's a relationship built there, and there's a little boy that, you know, even I've seen him grow up over the last year, that every time we go in there, he's very friendly. And so I kind of noticed that the little boy and Lily were off to one little area, and so we're all sitting over there, and listen, life is tough, right? So we're just talking about life, you know, oh man, this and that, and we're just talking about, you know, man, it was just all these things. And so I kind of halfway hear Lily over here talking, and she's just like, you know, that's Pastor Ron, and she was introducing everybody, and I love what she said. I hope this is true. She goes, he tells people about Jesus. And so I'm like, oh man, I gotta really live up to that now. And so, you know, I'm just kind of hearing this conversation in the back, you know. And so, but we're still having the conversation about life and just kind of distracted. And so then we step outside for a few minutes, and the little boy follows us outside. And I thought back about this because I remember that we were talking once again about important things, you know, about life. And Lily was like doing this in my face. She was jumping up and down. She jumped and did that in front of her mom and dad. And they were like, stop it. Stop, Tito. And finally, she gets our attention. You know what she says? I just shared Jesus with that little boy. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what happened? All the other stuff I was worried about, I was just like, I felt guilty. And I was just like, wow. Because she understood her. She wasn't caught up in the worries of trying to figure out, you know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? She understood the plan that she had right there. What a beautiful reminder. If we understand it, we serve a generous God. God who loves us, who has given us everything we need, even in the times we don't understand. We don't have to look around and say, God, where's mine? Because he says, here it is. Jesus is enough. He's enough. So we're going to go into a time of decision. This will be your opportunity. If you want to spend a little time here in this prayer area, you want to do it at your seat, that's fine. But this week, begin to pray about letting some of that envy go. Maybe figure out a place that you can begin to serve so that you can pour yourself out, not be so focused on what's in it for me. Let's pray, and then that'll be our opportunity. Father, we thank you.